We've been hearing a lot of parables over the summer, the last few months. The lectionary, the planned system of listening or hearing the Bible read over the three-year cycle includes a lot of the parables this time from Matthew. The parables, the stories, right? And today, Jesus invites us to hear another parable. Well, parables, what? They're like slices out of life. Yeah, kind of like ordinary life. They're little slices out of it, but oftentimes Jesus kind of exaggerates reality, or he foregoes his realistic stuff in order to exaggerate, to make a point, to heighten the drama. Their parables are like they're like alternative worlds into which we walk, and then we've entered this story, but then suddenly at the end, we realize that it's something about us. It's something about ourselves. And we see something about God or ourselves that we might not have seen before. So it's almost like, oh, we love to hear the story. We love to hear the parable, but not really sometimes, right? So then hear this parable. One afternoon, a shopper at a local mall, she felt the need for a coffee break, and so she bought a little bag of cookies, she put them in her pocketbook, and she got in line for the coffee. She found a place at her table, she took out her magazine to read and sipped her coffee. And across the table sat a man who was reading a newspaper. She reached out and she took a cookie, and as she did so, the man seated across the table reached out and also took a cookie. Well, this put her off a little bit, but she didn't say anything. And then after a few minutes later, reading her magazine, well, she took another cookie. Well, once again, the man did the same thing. He took a cookie too. And now she was starting to get a little bit upset, especially since there was only one cookie left. But apparently the man also realized that there was only one cookie left. And what does he do? He takes the cookie, breaks it in half, gives half to her, and eats the other half. And then he smiled at her. He got up, put his paper under his arm, and he walks off. Well, she's steamed. I mean, she can't hardly believe it, right? Her coffee break is ruined. She's already planning ahead how she's going to complain and share this with her workmates and then with her family how this guy did this stuff. And so she folds her magazine, opens up her pocketbook, and there in her pocketbook she discovers her own unopened bag of cookies. All the time, she had been unwittingly helping herself to the cookies of her gracious host. it was the person with whom she shared the table who had every right to be offended. Yeah? For she had taken what belonged to him without even asking or acknowledging or not even a word of thanks. Well, the same mistake, but with a decided vengeance, takes place in the story of the vineyard tenants in the parable told by Jesus. Yeah. The tenants, they didn't own the vineyard they were working in, nor did they own the fruits, the harvest of the vineyard. As tenants, they had only leased the piece of ground, right? They hadn't even paid a purchase price. They only paid rent. And the rent took the form of a portion of the harvest. So if you've ever rented a house or, you know, or an apartment, you know that legally the renter's first obligation is to pay the owner, pay rent to the owner. This is the obligation that the tenants in this story had assumed when they entered into this agreement with the vineyard owner. But when the owner sent to collect the harvest from those who had leased the land, the tenants failed to acknowledge their proper obligation. Instead, they took a mean spirit and rather grasping tack, and they said, well, let's make the vineyard our own. And they proceeded not only to deny the owner the rent that was due, but to actually mistreat and kill those whom the owner sends to remind them of their obligation. Like the weary shopper on a coffee break, the vineyard tenants took to be their own what belonged to another. And so it may be with us. All of our lives, we've been helping ourselves to God's bag of cookies. And whether we realize it or not, whatever cookies we may have, they come from God. So, you know, the question is, what have we returned to God for the gifts, for the life with which we have been entrusted? And I believe that this is the fundamental challenge to us posed in this parable of Jesus. In whose kingdom do we live? In God's or in ours? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, sang the psalmist. The earth is God's. We are tenants of the earth, but not its owners. The earth has been entrusted to our care and to our keeping, but we don't possess it. The earth belongs forever to the one who made it. And the mystery is that we're responsible for that which we do not own. You know, now if you're parents and you have children, you're responsible for them, but you don't own them. If you have a house, I mean, even if you have the deed that says that you own it, and you're not going to live in that house forever. In that structure, in that physical structure. We're only passing through, as it were, as kind of a lingering guest. We're responsible for the house. I mean, we have the deed. We own it. But we don't really own it in a permanent sense, right? Even if you live there your whole life, the house will probably outlast you. Somebody else will take over the care of it. And what about the life of our bodies? Huh? The air we draw into our lungs, the beat of our heart. We have this life and we're responsible for it, but we don't really possess it. We have it only temporarily as a gift, as a trust from the source of life. So, you know, we're tenants on this earth. We're stewards of what has been entrusted to us. And there's a second theme in Jesus' parable. It's a theme that's noticeably absent from the winsome story of the unintentional cookie thief. And that's the element of judgment. Now, the tenants in Jesus' story were held accountable for their actions. Jesus invited the hearers of the parable to pronounce the judgment, right, concerning the tenants. We heard in the scripture, now when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to these tenants? Well, and then the listeners declare, well, he'll put those wretches to a miserable death and lease the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the produce at the harvest time. And then it's kind of the oops, because Jesus makes it plain that the listeners have pronounced the harsh judgment on themselves. Ooh, right, that's that zinger of the parable. As you're going along and everything's great, oh, what a great story. And then, oh my gosh, he's talking about me. These are words kind of make us sit up and take notice. And it's not merely a sweet appeal to our good intentions. This isn't simply wooing us to do what is right. Jesus is more truthful than that. Jesus makes it clear that it's the tenants, not the landowners, that in this kingdom, it's God's kingdom, it's not their own. And that as tenants, as those who are entrusted with this life that we're leading, that we're accountable to the owner, to the source of this life, for what has been entrusted to us. So what does it then mean to, in the words that the parable uses, the scripture, what does it mean to produce the fruits of the kingdom? Well, the fruits of the kingdom are pointed out in the passage from the prophet Isaiah, our first reading, And that passage, so familiar to Jesus' original listeners, is a scriptural source for Jesus' historical or biblical figures of the vineyard. They use that theme, the picture, the image of the vineyard in that passage from Isaiah. We heard, "For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the people of Judah are his pleasant planting. God expected justice, but saw bloodshed, righteousness, but heard a cry." The expected harvest of the kingdom is to be justice in the land and righteousness among people. But those apparently have been lacking. Then, maybe now. An indication of the harvest that the vineyard owner expects is given in Jesus' words elsewhere about how we have treated the least of these, the least of our fellow tenants. From Matthew we hear, "I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me." This is the rent, you see. This is the harvest that we are to return for the privilege of living and working in God's kingdom. Now, an element of judgment exists in Jesus' parable. But judgment is not the fundamental reality of God that the story reveals. Because you think about it, the underlying reality of the story is that the vineyard owner has given over his well-prepared and fruitful land to others for their use. He's given it to the use of the tenants. The tenants are not slaves. They're like independent yet cooperative partners in this enterprise. Yeah? So even when the tenants turn against the owner, the absent Lord is impossibly patient. I mean, think about it. After the tenants murder their first envoys, the owner of the vineyard sends not an army, not an assassination squad, he sends more envoys to talk to the folks and collect the harvest. It's almost like a smitten lover who can't say no. I mean, because then what does he do? He sends his own son, right? And the son too then, though, is killed. But you see here, we know that by the death of this son, then we are saved. For we in the church is sort of a tenants' union, as it were. Now we gather weekly on the anniversary of that son's victory over death in order to offer back to the owner of the vineyard a portion of the grain from God's land, from which has been yielded, from our lives, from God's land, from God's kingdom. So we offer up, you see, the sweat and the tears and the laughter of our own lives. And as we do so, we receive back as food the body and lifeblood of the Son who offered himself that we might be redeemed. And the Son was offered that we might be nourished and saved by the God who won't leave us alone, you see, but continually sends to save us from ourselves. And God does so in order that we might live with God in God's blessed kingdom, now and always, every day, all the time. And so for that we say, thank you, and amen.